Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information about Sex with Emily, go to sexwithemily.com, where it's really your place to go for all sex information. So, and thanks everyone for watching the show live right now. We appreciate it. It's great to see you. Have a nice day. Hope you're having a great day. Today is a great day for me for several reasons.
Why is that?
Tonight is my book launch in San Francisco. If you can see on camera right here, I'm holding up my book. It's called Hot Sex, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight. I'm having a party in San Francisco from 6 to 8 o'clock at Good Vibrations on Mission Street across from Bloomingdale's if you want to swing by. I've also got two parties in L.A. next week. If you go to my Sex with Emily Facebook page, you can get all the information on that. So become like my page and join me on Twitter, Sex with Emily.
Sweet. I don't have to dress up, do I?
No, just come like that.
Can I just dress?
Yes, honey. What are you going to wear? You dressed. I've never seen you dressed up. So no, for me to say yes, you should get dressed up, I think would be a challenge for
it's
you.
It's possible for me to dress up.
Oh. You have like a suit or something?
I have
a tuxedo?
A zoot suit that I wear sometimes.
What would you wear as a dress up thing?
No, I used to really dress up all the
time. Right, used like to, when in the 80s and the 90s?
No, like not too long
no,
ago.
No, I know, honey. You always look nice. It's your look. You've got a look.
No,
just go with your look.
I just don't like
Wherever you go.
I don't like being underdressed.
Honey, it's not fancy. It's a Good Vibrations.
I'm the under I'm the underdressed guy. I don't want to be the underdressed
guy. No one's going to be dressed up.
Okay.
It's going to be San Francisco. We're all casual here. It's a very casual town. No one cares what you wear. Just come as you are.
Cool.
I just want to see you there. That's I want to see your face. And I'll sign a copy of the book for you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm beyond excited about my guest sitting here next to me is Micaiah Hart. And she wrote a book called The Ultimate Guide to Orgasm for Women. I'm also holding this up so you can check it out on the camera. The Ultimate Guide. We are talking about everything to do with orgasms today, from do women fake orgasms, why women fake it, what's the most common reason women have trouble with orgasms. There's different kinds of orgasms. We're going to talk about female ejaculation. Can you have great sex without orgasms? I mean, I'm telling you, it's like orgasm central here today. And I'm really excited. So we're going to be talking to her in a few minutes. She's also going to help me answer some of your emails that you wrote to feedback@sexwithemily.com. We've got some orgasm challenge questions that she's going to answer, which feels really good to me.
Awesome.
Because she's the expert.
We have a lot of orgasm challenges around
We do.
Here.
Personally, too. But that's – I don't know if I'll get into my own stuff. But we can talk about that. So I'm excited about that. And you can call us if you want. 415-992-7392 is our Skype. And you can always leave us a message there. And we will play your message. You can comments, questions, what you think about the show. 415-992-7392.
Sometimes we leave the Skype on by accident. And the message when I walked in the studio today, it says – it was from somebody and it said, I have something long for you.
Oh, my God.
I wonder what they were suggesting.
What do you think they were referring to?
I don't know.
His
That's
penis?
Weird. Something
that
long.
That is weird.
Maybe
That's
a long,
really weird.
A long conversation. That's what you love.
Exactly. Right? I love long. I just want to talk forever. I could talk forever. And tomorrow's show, I'm so excited. It's our free Friday show, so anyone can listen to it. And the co-author of my book, Jamie Waxman, is going to be on the show. And we're going to go through my book, Over 200 Things, Hot Sex, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight. She's taught a ton of courses on it, and she's pretty amazing, and you're going to love her, and we're going to have so much fun tomorrow.
I'm very excited about it.
Aren't you?
I'm super delirious today. I'm just guaranteeing you right now that I'm going to be super funny.
When? Tomorrow or today?
Like today.
Okay. Funny, hot, laughing at you or with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, I mean, what did you do yesterday?
Yesterday, I hate when you ask me that because my mind goes blank. I think I just worked. Oh, I got my hair cut.
Yeah.
Thanks for noticing.
It looks amazing.
I got my hair cut and I worked a little bit. I had to work on the book party for tonight, stuff like that. I didn't do anything like crazy. What'd you do?
I went to the Blink 182 show.
Oh, cool.
And it was really fun because I had to be there all day because the CBS who I work for was a big part of it. So I had to go there from like noon. I didn't get home till midnight.
Oh my God.
And I got up at 4 a.m.
Oh my God. So that's crazy. I don't know how you live on all that sleep.
Before this, I'm on the radio from 6 a.m. to noon.
I know.
And then we start the show at 1.
We are so glad that you always grant us with your presence every day. Because Menace is the busiest guy in radio.
Yeah. But it was really cool yesterday because 10 years ago, I saw Blink 182 at the same venue.
Okay.
And I was in the nosebleeds, like in the grass area.
Right.
Super far, far away. And then it was really cool because I got to hang out with the band backstage the entire day.
Look how far you've come.
So I know, right?
Little Menace is all grown up.
It's crazy that
he's all grown up.
I'm seeing the same band again.
So what was the band like? Did you get any good combos with
them? Oh, we did have a good conversation because during an interview, one of the band members said, you know, this is a beautiful venue. People should need to find places to have sex here. And that is the venue that I had sex, like, backstage.
No, which venue?
At the Shoreline.
The Shoreline, right.
The one that I was at yesterday. So I went into the story on how
you're like, well, I actually boned a chick here.
Yeah, I actually pulled that off here. And I go, there was a comedy show. One of the comedians left early, David Alan Greer. You might know him from In Living Color. And his dressing room was empty. So I just went in there with the chick, locked the door, and
nice.
Made it happen. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So they were impressed.
They must have been impressed. You're in.
Yeah.
You're totally in. That's
But a
fun.
Lot of people, it gets really dark up there. If you guys go on the Google, you type in Shoreline, Mountain View, California, you can see
outside.
What I'm talking about. There's the expensive seats are covered by giant
right.
tents.
Those are the ones I like.
And then the cheap seats are
lawn.
It's a huge grass area. I'm talking about football fields long.
Right.
And you can find places to have sex in the grass when the lights get low.
Right.
Because everyone's focusing on the
exactly.
concert.
Exactly.
You know, no one...
It's just a boning fest.
Yeah.
I used to go to Shoreline a lot, but
and
I don't
bone
that often.
In the grass?
No, I never boned in the grass there, just at Coachella.
Oh, okay.
I told you about my Coachella experience.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, we have a new poll up on the website.
Oh,
we
I
want
love
everyone
the polls.
To go vote. How would you rate your current sex life?
Amazing.
Here's the answers. Here's your choices. What sex life? That's A. B, I satisfy myself. C, at least I'm getting some. D, no complaints here. E, mind-blowing. So go to sexsomely.com and vote right now.
Yeah.
What would you say? Oh, you're not getting any.
No, I mean...
Oh, no, you are getting any.
I do get some here and there. But satisfying myself is so much better. I'll tell you why.
Oh, masturbation. Okay, why?
Because... You don't have to talk to your hand. You don't have to talk to later.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
You don't have to take
no
it
cuddling.
Out. You don't have to take it out. And what's cool about it is, too, is you can have sex with whoever you want. It's
in
your
mind.
Mind.
Exactly.
In your mind.
Fantasy.
It's cool. And then.
Well, that's good, Menace, because that seems like where you've been at lately. So I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Speaking of
masturbation.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I've showed this to you when you came to the office, but Tenga. They make these masturbation sleeves for men, and they're our new sponsor, and it's amazing. And I know sex toys, people think, oh, they're for women. They've got these masturbation sleeves that are really clean and easy to use, and men can use them, and it just adds a little something. You've been using your hand for how many years? Use a Tenga masturbation sleeve. It's T-E-N-G-A. Everyone should go to their website and check it out.
When you lose the bet...
I'm not losing the bet.
Maybe I'll still use it.
Okay.
Because you showed it to me the other day, and you... It's this round tube that you open, you break it open, and it's like super soft, like jelly.
Right.
With inside of it.
Right.
And
then
it's crazy.
You close it around your penis, and then it has a suction, so it'll suck you. It has a little button, so you can compress the air out, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And then you could put lube in it. But that's one of them. They have a bunch of other ones. They come in cute little eggs. So everyone go check out Tenga and go buy their products.
See, that's what I was afraid of the first part because I didn't really understand it too much.
Right.
I didn't, you know, play with it.
Right.
And I didn't know that this extra plastic piece came off. And I thought you would, like, be closing these two plastic parts on top of your wiener, like,
right,
and it would kind of cut it off.
Right. Yeah. No, it's super comfy. You could live in it.
Yeah. So that's what I was afraid of. But now, upon further examination of the tool, it doesn't look as bad.
It's not as bad. It's not as scary. And you got to check out Tenga and you got to check out Adam and Eve. I love Adam and Eve. They're also our sponsors. If you go there, you get 50% off most items. You get 3 adult DVDs, a free gift, and free shipping. So go buy your sex toys. It's time.
Yeah.
It's time to do it now.
Yeah.
We all need sex toys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
Why are you looking at me crazy?
I'm not. You think you're the crazy one. You're the sleep-deprived one.
I'm very sleep-deprived. And I just so I would be able to talk today, I drank some Red
Bulls. Six Red Bulls.
I drank a Red Bull and, like, one of those little five-hour energies. I don't think you're supposed to mix
those. I'm afraid. You're not supposed to drink a Red Bull and a five-hour energy?
Yeah, I put them all together.
I'm surprised you're not. I'm not peeling you off the ceiling right now.
Because I wanted to bring it today. I don't want to be, like, sleeping for you.
Oh, I love it. That's really sweet that you're poisoning yourself with that much caffeine.
Maybe I should do that, like, every day so I can be wacky.
Yeah, be wacky. Be a wacky dude. What are you going to do this weekend? It's coming up. Anything exciting?
This weekend, I am going to go see a fella that all the ladies love. His name is Brandon Boyd. Incubus. I got to go back to the shoreline again.
Got it. That'll be fun. I'm going to work. And it's Blue Angels this weekend.
Yeah, which is very scary if anybody, they don't know, because everyone since, you know, 9/11, they freak out when they hear airplanes.
Right.
And we don't really get a warning. And so next thing you know, there's like, you know, F-16s flying over the city.
Right.
Crazy sound. And it always scares me for
the
first
week. It's a cool air show, but I can't stand the Blue Angels, to be honest. The noise,
what?
The sound, can't stand it.
It's amazing.
Town. In fact, I wish I was leaving town this weekend to just avoid it.
It's amazing.
But if you come to San Francisco, people come here for it. So I have a friend who's flying in from Chicago, and she's seen the Blue Angels all weekend, and I get it. I might be in the minority. But I don't like the sound of planes flying over my head, and I've seen them once. You've seen them again.
I know. It is very frightening.
But
it's
a big deal for San Francisco, so...
Yeah. It's fun.
So
I think you would embrace Fleet Week.
Why?
It's all these military guys in the city, like,
overwhelming. Well, I don't see them. Where are they? I'll go meet up with them. Then maybe I'll embrace them.
You just go down to the Embarcadero. There'll be hundreds of...
cute men in their little
uniforms.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not cool for me because I'm not really into that.
Wow.
But now that's where all the single ladies go. They get all hyped up. All the girls at my work, they get all excited.
Because you guys are near there, your work. Speaking of cute guys, last night I was sitting on my friend's stoop. She was doing my hair. I was sitting there. We came outside. We were sitting outside. It was kind of a nice night. And there were the cutest guys in the marina, which I never go to the marina, walking like one after the next, coming home from work in their suits. I was like, oh, my God, this is heaven. There was like so many cute guys just on our street. That doesn't happen in San Francisco that much, at least not in my neighborhood.
My neighborhood, I noticed there's a lot of
You've got a good neighborhood, too. So that was really fun.
But now that, you know, we have these the weather got a little bit better,
right?
You kind of just notice more for some
reason. Yeah, people are out. It's sunny. Yeah. They're in their sundresses, and men are looking handsome. Okay, let's get into some emails.
Okay, good.
Okay, we're just going to skip Sex and the City because I'm so excited for Mekhi Hart, her book, The Ultimate Guide. The Ultimate Guide to Orgasm for Women. I'm showing it to you again on camera. How to Become Orgasmic for a Lifetime, okay? So the bulk of the emails I get hundreds of emails from everyone. Thank you for emailing me at feedback@sexwithemily.com. And as you know, if you're a Friends with Benefits member, a Sex with Emily Friends Benefits member, your emails go to the top of the list. We read your emails first. We get your answers. We get your answers to your questions right away. And I'd say a good majority of our emails are about orgasms, women who can't have them, men who are disappointed that their partner's not having one. Can they have one during intercourse? They can only have one alone, but they can't have it during sex. Just lots of questions. So we are going to get into some of those, and I'm going to have Mekhi help me answer some of the questions because she just wrote a book on it, a very amazing, extensive book where she talked a lot to you, and we're going to get into that after the emails. Hi, Mekhi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
So fun to have you here. Okay, let's get into some emails right now. Okay. Hi, Emily. I've had a dilemma throughout my entire sexual life, and I've yet to find a solution. I've been having sex for 5 years now. I'm 23, and I've never, ever had an orgasm with a partner. I have no problem getting an orgasm with a vibrator on my own, but when it comes to actual intercourse or oral sex with a guy, it just doesn't happen. I've heard all the typical tips in magazines and online, but it just doesn't work for me. Do you have any input or advice? This is really starting to affect my sex life and stresses me out, therefore making it even harder for me to think about having an orgasm. Help. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Signed, Suzanne.
Tequila, right?
Tequila.
Well,
I was actually going to say the very obvious answer to that is you start using a vibrator when you're having intercourse, which means you have to be on top. But, great position. And you handle the vibrator. Don't give it to him because he may be able to make you come with the vibrator. But what you want to do is you want to have the experience of coming in his presence.
Right.
And so do it a way you know you can come. And then you can branch out from there and play around and he can start, handling the vibrator.
Are you saying that because you think she's nervous around him?
No,
maybe?
It's not so much nervous. What happens, I hear this again and again and again. What happens is that women have been trained from a very young age that they're supposed to be there for their partners. So they're there for their partners and they're not there for themselves. They actually vacate their bodies to be with their partner. And so, it's hard to talk about this because the concept of not being in your body is a very complex one. But the truth is that most women need to learn to be more selfish. That's the bottom line. They need to be more concerned about their own enjoyment. And that will improve their sex lives enormously.
Okay. Now, what do you mean by women vacating their body? Can you say more about that?
Well, you have to think about it in terms of energy. I mean, we're all in these physical bodies that we see before us, but there's also an energetic body. And you can separate your energetic body from your physical body, so you simply aren't really there.
Present,
yes,
right.
You're not present.
Because you're focused on his pleasure, his enjoyment,
yes.
How do I look?
Yes.
And
am I doing it right? And is he enjoying it? And will it be okay will it be okay with him if I do this? And they're such, those kinds of ways of thinking are so deeply established that a lot of the time we don't even realize we're thinking that way.
Right.
But anyway, the absolute first thing, the first primary thing that to have good sex is to be present in your own body. And to learn to be present when somebody else is present with you.
How do you teach someone to be present?
Well, I would say, really, it's not something I can teach somebody else.
Right.
I can only say, this is what you need to do. And first of all, you need to practice being in your body. And developing a sense of being present in your body when you're on your own. And developing a sense of energy flowing. I mean, that's difficult to talk about.
I know. It's like meditation and doing stuff alone, breathing exercises and stuff like that.
But you can think, anybody can think of sexual desire as a buildup of energy and orgasm as a release of energy. I mean, that's relatively easy for most of us. So just develop that sense. And another really good thing about that is a lot of women ask me, Well, they complain to me about how the rational brain gets in the way when they're having sex.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. Well, one way to deal with that, it doesn't work for everyone, but it can really work, is to involve the rational brain in observing what is going on in terms of an energy flow. So observe how the energy is building and observe, you know, how it builds, where in your body it builds. And so your rational brain is busy doing that. It keeps it busy. You know,
right.
And it also can be very useful because then we can actually start to play around with that and specifically consciously build it in certain areas of the body and specifically consciously let go of it.
Okay.
Let it go into orgasm.
I find even outside of sex, there's a problem with the rational
mind.
Rational brain,
with
yes.
women.
Damn rational brains. They're very useful, but they can get in the way.
Where do you find them?
You've lost yours?
Oh, yeah. Long time ago.
Okay, next question. Emily Menace, I must say that I love this show. I saw it on iTunes as one of the top podcasts, and of course, with phone sex, with sex in the title, I had to check it out. It gets me through my work day on a day-to-day basis, and the people in my lab where I do cancer research never know why I'm laughing and smiling. So to get to my question, Emily, you've been talking a lot about how men should just flirt more often. I can proudly say that I am actually a really good flirt. The girls I know just seem to be very comfortable around me, and that's awesome, but now I've run into a weird dilemma. Recently, I've had a few experiences where friends just go ahead and kiss me on the lips and then talk about their lives as if nothing happened. Is that
Hell
super
yeah.
common? Don't get me wrong. It's refreshing and I enjoy it, but I find it kind of strange, wondering what that actually means. Seems kind of stupid, but it's kind of been bothering me. Anyway, love the show. As a current Michigan Wolverine, it's cool to be able to hear an alum help people every day. Andrew from Ann Arbor.
You have so many Michigan fans.
So many Michigan fans. I love it. Okay, so he wants to know, he's a good flirt, and he's curious about people kissing him on the lips. Isn't that what people do these days? I think that's common.
Not everybody.
I think it's common that people kiss on the lips, though. Is he thinking that, I'm not sure, Andrew, if you're thinking that, are they coming on to you, so therefore you should make a move? I think some people kiss on the lips, and some people don't kiss on the lips.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that they're trying to send you a message. I think that you would, maybe they feel, since you are such an open flirt, they feel really comfortable with you. And so people who are comfortable feel more comfortable kissing you on the lips. But I'm not sure, are you getting other signs from people maybe that they're interested in you? But I don't think that that's a weird thing. But I can see some people are just brought up differently. Like, I kiss a lot of my good friends on the lips, good family, friends. Like, we kiss on the lips. We just do. And some people, you just, you know, do the air kiss.
The air kiss.
The mwah. But
yeah.
I don't think it's a weird thing. What, did you kiss on the lips? We kiss on the lips sometimes, Menace, don't we?
Yeah, but not, you know.
Yeah, but then I wipe my mouth off.
Yeah,
no.
Not in depth or anything like that. But
no.
You're the only person I do that with, though.
Oh, no. Is it my fault?
Yeah, I think it's your fault.
Oh.
Yeah, but
I think I'm a kisser on the lipper. But that could be offensive to people, too.
Offensive? Why?
I think people might be just like Andrew. He's not offensive, but I could be sending mixed signals, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, you're not sending mixed signals to me, but you could be like a guy that was interested in you, and
right.
then kissing him on the lips.
I
and
think
goes,
guys are
oh.
looking for any sign that a woman's interested, and I'm not sure that these women are interested.
He's like, oh, I got a chance now,
right?
You know?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be watching my kissing tonight during my party, unless they're really cute. Okay. Hi, Emily. First of all, gotta say, love the show. Listening to your show has made me realize how into sex I really am. I come from an Asian culture where expressing yourself sexually is generally frowned upon, but you've made me realize that being sexual is a great thing. Anyway, I need some advice. I'm in a serious relationship with a wonderful woman who loves me. Sex has been the one area where I think we could improve. I've literally tried everything to get her to come. Fingers, mouth, penis, we even ordered the magic bullet, which is a vibrator. I have no problem getting her to the edge, but for some reason she always pulls away when I feel like she's about to orgasm. She says she can't handle any more stimulation. She says she's fine not being able to orgasm, but deep down it makes me feel like a bad boyfriend because I can't get her over the top. Now, I've read up on this, and it seems that it's rooted in some trust issue, but I wanted to get your thoughts. She says she trusts me, and I believe her. Please help. I know that if anyone can help us, you can. Kevin from Hawaii. I'm going to fill this over to Micaiah Hart, my guest on the show.
Well, I'd say right away, does she orgasm on her own? I mean, if she's getting to the edge, then, you know, the chances are that if she was on her own, she'd be going over. But the real key thing you say in here that is something very important to address whenever you're talking about orgasm is, do not try to make your partner come, because it will be a relationship killer, I can assure you. And what will happen is that in the end she'll start faking it because she's tired of trying to explain that it's okay that she doesn't come, or trying to explain why she doesn't come, and she'll start thinking there's something wrong with her that she doesn't come, and she'll need to avoid the issue. So really, really, anybody who's out there, if there's nothing else you get from anything I say, please get this. Orgasm is not something you give to your partner. It is something that your partner allows to occur, and it is a gift for you if she comes. And many women find it very, very hard to come with their partners. It is by far the most sensible and best thing to do for a woman to practice having orgasms on her own. And then perhaps she will be able to have them with a partner. Although, as you say, well, it's not so much a trust issue for women. It's actually that women tend to leave their bodies when they're with somebody else. And so they're not really present for themselves.
Right. And you said to the last email that it's okay to use a vibrator during sex.
Yes.
And I don't know why. And, I think women have issues that men will feel like intimidated by the vibrator, or it's not really me doing it.
Yeah.
But get over that, guys.
Get over it, because vibrators are the most common way to get women over that hump, I mean, it sounds like from what you're saying is she gets to a certain point where it becomes uncomfortable for her. And that is the point when she has to be willing to let her body take over. Well, I'm guessing here, but I'm a pretty good guesser on this subject. And yes, it's very hard for women to trust their bodies. I mean, when it gets to that point, you have to let go all rational brain control, let your body take over. And for many women, that's a very alarming thing to do. And they have to, you have to practice with your own body.
Because a lot of times when they're starting to feel uncomfortable or they can't take any more stimulation, many times that can be when they're actually about to have an orgasm.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's the moment when they've got to be willing to let go. And once again, let me say, it'll be easier for her to do it when she's on her own. And yes, use a vibrator by all means. And my absolute favorite vibrator, I hope I'm allowed to
tell
say this
me.
On here, the Hitachi Magic Wand.
My God.
Jeez, there's nothing to match it.
Oh, I drilled a hole in the back of my nightstand so I could leave it plugged in all the time.
Yes.
Hitachi Magic Wand is amazing.
Yes, but let me just say something about the Hitachi Magic Wand. Well, two things. First of all, when you first use it, put a towel between you and it, because it's pretty powerful, pretty powerful vibration.
It's the Mack truck of vibrators.
It's the Mack truck of vibrators. And the other thing is, I know a number of women who have two Hitachi Magic Wands. Now, why would they need two? Because for many women, it takes so long for them to get over that hump. Well, 20 minutes with a vibrator, maybe. 20 minutes with that vibrator is going to make it hot. So they have two there, so they can switch to one and allow the other to cool.
Wow.
Wow. And you guys, adamandeve.com, Hitachi Magic Wand, go buy it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the Hitachi. So what the towel, you're saying, because it's so powerful, yes, to use it at first.
Yeah,
to kind of mitigate the
pressure.
Yes,
just use it between, your clit and you.
Good. Isn't that a little harder to use during sex, though?
Well,
during intercourse? I haven't not
one?
Done that, the Hitachi. I usually use, like, the...
The smaller one.
The smaller one, just because... It just seems easier to grab.
Well, yes.
But I should try to use the Hitachi during intercourse.
Well,
I'm going to add that to my list.
Yeah. I mean, different women find different vibrators work for them. And, let me also say there are some women who don't like vibrators at all, and that's just fine, too. There's nothing wrong with you if you need a vibrator
to
come. There's nothing wrong with you if you never use a vibrator.
Exactly.
It's just the way you
are.
What are your thoughts on the rabbit? Because the rabbit exploded, all over the scene.
Well, I first tried the rabbit about 12 years ago, and I didn't like it because I have very strong vaginal muscles. And when I put it inside, I could actually clench my muscles so much it was no good anymore.
Oh.
Really?
Now, they may have improved it.
There's a lot of different kinds, yeah.
Yes. So I think probably now they probably have improved it. But I stopped using it because of that.
The industrial strength is probably coming out by now.
Yeah, you need an industrial
strength. Yeah, there's so many different people who have knocked it off and stuff.
Yeah.
When you say you clench, is it more like you're doing like a Kegel kind of thing?
Yeah, we should talk about the Kegels a little, actually.
We can get into that later if you want. But
all right.
But
yeah,
I'm
just that the muscles of my vagina just...
Right.
When I'm really aroused, they're very, very strong.
Oh, God, that's good.
Yes.
Okay. Were you
it scared me for a second. No, because I flashed to this. There's a movie, have you heard, called Teeth? It was a big independent movie.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I haven't, no.
No, it was an independent movie about this woman had teeth in her vagina.
Oh, God, no. Missed that one. But that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Okay.
A man's worst nightmare.
Okay, and I'm talking, if you're just joining us, Micaiah Hart. She's the author of The Ultimate Guide to Orgasm for Women. So we are all orgasms today, all the time. Here we go. Hi, guys. The reason for my email is to ask you about the female G-spot orgasm. Are they any different from normal orgasms? If so, what's the best way for me to give my wife one? Is there a particular position that is better than another? Thanks for the show and keep the good work. Daniel from Florida.
Well, first of all, the question is, what's normal when it comes to orgasms? I mean, I really can say I interviewed 26 women in great depth and got more than 100 questionnaires when I wrote this book. And I really can say there is no such thing as normal when it comes to women's sexual responses.
Any kind of common ground on something?
Well, but yeah, but you'll always find someone who's at the other extreme.
Yeah.
You know?
There isn't. Sorry, Menace. Yeah. Each woman is a little puzzle that you have to decode.
You know, that's absolutely true. I mean, you have to relate to each woman individually. I mean, something that works for you with one woman is not necessarily going to work with another woman at all. Another woman might hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what about the G-spot?
So when it comes to the G-spot, some women don't like to have it touched. I mean, some women
Do you know where it's at?
Yes. Because do you want me to describe
it? Yes, describe it.
We've been trying to find it forever.
So if this hand is the vagina, right, mm-hmm. and these fingers are going into the vagina, to put them into about those first knuckles, mm-hmm. if you put them in too deep, you will feel, with the tips of your fingers, you'll feel the cervix, which is a hard nub a bit like my thumb, right? If you feel that, you've gone in too far. So in that case, pull them back a little. When they're in there, so your fingers are inside there, curl them up and then pull them out without uncurling them. The tips of your fingers will have run over her G-spot. Mm-hmm. So is that clear?
Yeah, that's clear. But you pull them out but you pull them all the way out of the vagina? Or you're saying drag them back down
and leave them in? Well, drag them back down. Right. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to pull them all the way out. I mean, it's hard. It's not definitive. It's not a definitive spot, really. But you can also recognize it because, with most women anyway, it has ridges on it. And when women are aroused, it feels a little like a strawberry with bumps all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does usually swell up when women are aroused. Right. And some women absolutely go through the roof when you touch their G-spot. And other women really don't even notice it. And some women don't like it. And the reason why some women don't like it, I think, is because when the G-spot is stimulated, it feels a bit like you're going to pee. And so, you know, most women don't want to pee while they're having sex, although actually there's nothing wrong if you do. But they don't want to pee, it makes them feel nervous and they want it to stop.
Right. Yeah, that's the sensation you get
before.
So I need to invent a condom that has a laser guidance to that area.
He wants an app to find the G-spot, his iPhone.
Well, for one thing, I would say it's harder to find it with a penis than it is with fingers.
Yeah, fingers are a good way to start.
Yes.
And what are some of the best sex positions, you think, to target the G-spot for a man and a woman having sex?
Well, probably the absolute best position is her lying on her face and him on top.
Okay.
Because then it'll tend to hit it more. But not if he's in really deep, but if he's in fairly shallow.
It's going shallow. Okay.
It's going shallow. Is
great.
Oh,
thank you.
Go shallow. And guys just
go shallow. Guys just want to go deep and hard. And it's like, please.
No, shallow actually is often much more fun for the woman.
Yeah, shallow. Yeah.
But in a rabbit-like state, right?
No.
This is me, my
jackrabbit. He's being sarcastic. The jackrabbit.
Jackrabbit.
Don't do the jackrabbit. Okay. Emily, just listening to the show where the woman was complaining about her man being stingy with oral and wondering how she can get him to give her more. Since we're very results-oriented, all men should know that great oral combined with some good foreplay can completely transform the way their woman feels inside. If her man isn't doing his job in the oral department, then he doesn't know what he's missing. From Paul.
Mm.
Yeah, what do you think about oral sex?
Oh.
And how a lot of women can just orgasm that way.
Yes. Yes, but it does have to be well done. I mean, you have to be tuned in to what really works for her. What particular, and by that I mean the particular speed of movement, the position of your tongue on the clitoral head is probably what you're doing, though you know, not doesn't necessarily mean you're using your tongue on the clitoral head, but for most women to come, that's usually what's happening.
Right.
But the speed of the movement and the particular position of the tongue on the clitoris, all those things are really important.
Right.
And you know, some women don't like the head itself to
right.
be stimulated
right.
so much.
They
want
the side.
It on the side. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then there's a what do you do about the guys who just don't like it? Do you think they're afraid of it? They don't know what they're doing, or they just
don't
like the
vagina?
What if they
don't want to do it? What's wrong
yeah,
with
maybe
that?
They just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about ejaculation a minute ago. I met one woman who was really disgusted at the idea of female ejaculation, you know. But other women I know absolutely love it. So.
Right, right, exactly.
Female ejaculation is when they pee on you, right?
No.
Slap that
That's
man.
Why I know. Dude, I try. If I could reach him now, I would slap him.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that. Okay, so those are the emails we have for today. And I just want to delve into your book here. Okay.
Yes.
Micaiah Hart, The Ultimate Guide to Orgasm for Women. It is chock full of orgasm tips, all about the orgasm, how to become orgasmic for a lifetime. So tell me about writing this book, your process.
You know, what inspired me to write it was that as a lesbian, I'd slept with a lot of women and I'd had some just, I mean, women are so incredibly different and there is so little good information out there about women's about the variety.
Right.
And so I felt that needed to be talked about. And then also the female ejaculation thing, there so needs to be more information out there about that. And I was also in a sexual healing group with some other women because I was molested when I was a kid and I was addressing conflict I had around sex. And that in that group, it was so wonderful because we just talked about sex over a period of months and actually years. We talked about sex in absolute detail and what worked and what didn't and why and what it felt like and how things
Amazing.
Had changed and how we responded. And it just really made me realize that we need to talk more. So, I mean, if there's one thing that I hope will happen as a result of this book, I hope that women will start talking more. Actually, I hope men will start talking
right,
more.
Right, exactly.
Everyone will.
I hope everyone just keep talking
yes.
about
yes.
it.
It would change the world.
I trust what you have to say.
He does because you're a lesbian. He always says lesbians, gay men should teach about oral sex
yes.
For men.
Yes,
and lesbians
absolutely.
Should teach about oral sex
yes.
for women. Men,
yes.
I knew he was so excited.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
When a woman goes up and say, oh, this is how you should give a blowjob to a man, she doesn't know how it feels.
No. Right.
Yeah.
It's a different thing when you've experienced it from both sides.
Yeah.
It's quite a different thing.
So, okay, so this book, you interviewed women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they were very in-depth interviews. I mean, they were ongoing interviews that, you know, I'd sit down and talk with somebody and tape the talk for a couple of hours. And then I'd go back and call them up, you know, because as I was writing, things would come up and questions like, you know, do you feel contractions in your uterus when you come? And all kinds of questions,
right.
everything that...
Amazing. I mean, you cover everything in here. This is great.
Well, I you know, but the thing is, women are so different that there are experiences that women have that are not in this book, you know. I actually really wish that we'd see more books of this kind that are composed from interviews with women. Because
yes.
Can I ask you, I know this is your baby since you put it together from beginning to end, and I run into this problem when I talk to musicians and I ask them what's their favorite song on their album. But what is one of the favorite topics? One that you kind of like?
You know, I think ejaculation and Jesus.
Let's get into that
so
then.
Exciting. Yes.
Let's get into female ejaculation.
Yes. Okay, now let me, I'm going to read from the book here.
Okay.
The book
I'm
is
glad
full
you
of
answered
quotes.
It right away.
Yeah.
I couldn't even finish my
I mean, sentence. I could choose a lot, right?
Yeah.
But really, you know, I'll tell you first, my first experience of ejaculation, my first personal experience of a woman ejaculating, I was sitting between her legs and she hit me in the chest with a spray of fluid. I mean, I had never heard of ejaculation
right.
before, but I was like, this is awesome.
Right.
This is so hot. You know, it was so exciting.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, and then I started talking with other women and finding all kinds of...
Because you want to do it more. You're like, I need to figure out...
Yes. And then I also learned how to do it myself. I do want to say one thing. Ejaculation certainly seems to be associated with the G-spot, but some women have ejaculated all their lives. There's one woman who's actually a good friend of mine, so I know a lot about her sex life. She's now 62. When she was 15, she never had sex. She just reached puberty. She never had sex. She didn't know what sex was. She'd never masturbated. She never had an orgasm. She was really into horses, and she was watching a horse race for the first time in her life. She was present there as the horses crossed the finish line. She got so excited, and she felt this very intense sensation in her pelvic area and a flooding down her legs. And she'd had an ejaculatory orgasm without any stimulation at all. And that's what she does. All her orgasms are ejaculatory orgasms. Wow. And she doesn't like having the clitoral head touched, and she doesn't find it enjoyable.
Right.
See, that's why I believe, you know how I joke around all the time? How to make a woman orgasm, you buy him a Louis Vuitton purse. See, it's possible. If she can ejaculate off a horse winning a race.
Well, just let me know how that goes for you.
I'm just saying.
Buy
a Gucci bag or a Chanel bag, it could happen.
It could happen. You never know what's going to excite women.
Point proven once again.
Okay.
Let me read these.
Yeah, please do.
So these are both from the questionnaire. And one of the questions in the questionnaire was, do you ejaculate? So this woman wrote, after we'd been having sex, there was always a big wet spot in the bed, and of course I always thought it was him. Much later, when I'd broken up with him, another man told me that he could feel me squeezing fluid past his penis when we were having intercourse, and I realized that the wet spot was me. So in other words, she'd been having sex for years without knowing that mm-hmm. she was ejaculating. Then another woman responded to the questionnaire by writing no, and she came back. And she crossed out the no and wrote, well, this is interesting. I was completely unaware of ejaculating until I filled in your questionnaire and then talked to my husband. He informed me, with surprise that I hadn't already realized, that I ejaculate profusely when I'm highly orgasmic, usually with oral stimulation. In other words, not G-spot stimulation. Mm. I said, I thought all that wetness was just spit. No, said he.
That is great.
Isn't that amazing?
Do you think, I know you're going to keep reading, but women ejaculate, but it doesn't necessarily mean they have an orgasm, right? They're not connected.
No, exactly. And this next.
Okay, good. Keep going.
I mean, it is for some women.
Right.
But this next one is very interesting. I ejaculate from vaginal stimulation only when my vagina is dilated and very wet. The ejaculation makes me too wet to orgasm, and everything relaxes. Sensation is gone, and I hardly notice any further stimulation.
Mm.
Now, I think that one of the things that we can get from this is that the concept of a clitoral orgasm is what most of us consider to be orgasm.
Right.
And in truth, if we talked about sex as much as I think we should, we would have 20 different words for orgasm, and there would be much more openness to experiencing other peaks of excitement as orgasm. We tend to have this one thing that we think, this is an orgasm.
Right.
And it's not the case. And I personally have had the experience, and I met many other women who have had the experience of having great sex without having anything that I could label as an orgasm. Although, as I said, I think that if we started really, if we didn't have this expectation of what an orgasm is, then we might start defining mm-hmm. orgasm differently.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
It's like the Eskimos with snow. We should mm-hmm. have more words for orgasm.
Yeah, that's right.
So what about women who say, I can't have an orgasm? Like, they can't even have it through a vibrator. They can't have it alone. They just think they're we like to say they're pre-orgasmic, right? Orgasmic, because it's possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you come across women who are like, they've tried everything and they can't orgasm? Or
There are certainly women who do that. And a few of the women that I spoke with said they have. Actually, not just that they have never had an orgasm, but in some cases that women go through phases in their lives, and they seem to be going through a phase when they can't orgasm. You know, I think the real...
And you don't believe that's mental?
I think it's impossible to differentiate between the mental, the psychological, mm-hmm. the physical, the emotional, and everything else. Mm-hmm. And I certainly think that when women are going through some very intense emotions, they may find that their sexual responses are completely different from... You know, it's like the energy that's flowing through them wants to manifest as emotion and not as a sexual orgasm,
right.
You know. I mean, it's difficult to talk about. We don't have enough words to describe what's going on. But I do absolutely think that if a woman wants to be sexual but is having trouble having an orgasm, she needs to completely take the focus off the concept of orgasm, forget completely about the concept of orgasm, and just concentrate on what feels good to her.
Mm-hmm.
And no orgasm.
So you think
is
it is possible for women, I think we've just say this, it is possible for women to have good sex if they're not having an orgasm.
It's absolutely. It's more than possible. I think it's actually pretty common.
It's really common. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, and the guy gets bummed out or her partner gets bummed out. Oh, you didn't have one. I failed. You failed. No. And I just think we have to take that whole messaging out around it. Right? Absolutely.
Get rid of that concept of success and failure. It has no place when it comes to sexual desire.
Exactly. So do you think that a lot of women fake orgasms, and why do you think they do it?
I do think there's enormous numbers of women who fake orgasm. And I think the main reason why they do so is because they either can't or just really don't want to try to explain why they haven't had one. I think that's – I mean, sometimes it's because they're – the sex they're having is boring and they want to end it. And, you know, that's the easiest and quickest way to end it without anybody getting offended. But I do think for an enormous number of women, it's that they don't know how to and don't want to go to the trouble of explaining. They want to please their partners.
Right, exactly. They want to please their partners.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Yeah. And you already talked about the flow of energy in women understanding that. So I was going to say... is there anything else you could say? I think that is so important because I think it is true. Like when I've found myself too inside my head trying to have an orgasm or thinking about it, and that you just really have to like focus on, like I know we talked a little bit, like focus on the actual like body part. Like you focus on where the energy flow is, like in your vagina or where he or she or whoever you're with is. Yeah. And you just kind of have to focus on the feelings, the sensations.
Yes.
And that's like take your mind. Like if you notice yourself thinking about your to-do list or whatever, it's just like – take the focus back to your body.
Yeah.
Take the focus back, right?
Yes. Although, I mean, I do know some women who occupy their brains by watching pornography beforehand or thinking about some pornographic movie or something. And that just occupies their brains while they're busy.
Exactly. Do you think women fantasize as much as men, or is it different? How about women's fantasies? What did you learn about that?
Well, there's some... there's some fantasies in here. Fantasy is certainly very important for some women. But I think, again, it's an incredibly individual thing. And I think that some women definitely do not allow themselves to fantasize. And partly because fantasies very often are about someone other than our partner. And so there's this completely false idea that they're betraying their partner in some way if they have a fantasy about someone else, which is not realistic. I mean, that's just, you know, fantasy is great. Let your brain go. Have fun.
Exactly. You know? People get so uptight about sex, right? Yeah. What about the elusive orgasm?
Well, I do think that an enormous number of women don't come easily and go through phases in their lives when they don't come easily. And again, I'd say if it isn't working, don't keep trying. And sometimes, I mean, a lot of women I spoke with have a lot of emotions come up with orgasm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what happens is that we have to pay attention to those emotions. We try, you know, very often we think they're inappropriate, you know, if it's, more than one woman I spoke to said that she often feels like she gets taken over by a sense of rage when she's having sex. Now, that's a very interesting concept, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, raging is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just an intense experience, might be what you call raging. And women's sexuality, when a woman fully steps into her sexual power, it is extremely powerful and can be experienced as raging.
Right.
So, you know, I think if you need to rage, if you feel the need to rage in any way, let it happen. And the issue is not whether you should let it happen or not, because in my opinion you should, but more about how you negotiate with your partner. To allow yourself, if you feel that it's inappropriate in some way, negotiate with your partner beforehand and say, you know, sometimes I have very intense feelings come up, and you need to know it's not your fault.
Right.
It's not even necessary to do with
you. Because our sex is so tied to so many of our emotions about, you know, growing up or from
absolutely.
Wherever.
Absolutely.
So what about the impact of, I get a lot of emails too about the impact of people taking medication and orgasm. So antidepressants, like... huge, you know, in our culture that women and men are prescribed antidepressants, but, you know, they make you happy, but you can't have an orgasm. So what do you do about that?
You know, I feel like I don't know enough about the meds to be able to say anything really definitive, but I think it's important to see antidepressants as something that you take to get you through a bad patch in your life, and hopefully there will come to a point when you'll stop taking them, you know.
Right.
I certainly think that if you're taking something that, if you're taking a med that stops you feeling sexual, don't keep trying to feel sexual. Don't keep trying to push through it, because it's realistic that it's depressing. What it's doing is it's depressing your sexual desire. It's suppressing it, repressing it, whatever. And so you need to accept that that is what's going on. And you know, try having sex in a different way where you know, perhaps you can get aroused and not have orgasms, or your orgasms are really different. So, you know, look at your expectations. Be willing to change your expectations. Mm-hmm. I think an enormous number of us, especially in long-term relationships, we're used to having sex in habitual ways.
Right.
And it's
you gotta mix up your sexual repertoire.
Yes. And it takes a certain amount of work to do that, but it's really worth doing it.
Absolutely. And
whatever it takes to do it. Do things differently. There's so many ways of having sex.
So many ways. I know. What about your what do you think about multiple orgasms?
Oh, I think multiple orgasms are very common. Now, once again, having said that, I want to say they may be very common, but don't get into trying to make your partner have multiple orgasms, because that is not going to work. But I do think, you know, we have a definition of sex. Like, it starts here and it ends here. It ends after you've orgasmed. Well, for some women, it doesn't. And if they carry on, they can have two, three, or more. And, you know, I speak for myself personally. I need to have three or four, or I don't feel done.
Right.
And, you know, to all of those of you out there who are making love to women, I want to say women tend to be very specific about exactly what they need when they orgasm, when they get to that point, when they get over that little hump. And so you need to pay attention to her. She may need you to stop just for a short period of time and then increase the stimulation in order to come. And certainly, when most women, when they have multiple orgasms, they need a pause between, you know, but, you know, maybe just a really brief pause.
Brief pause,
Between each orgasm, and then the same stimulation again, and she'll come again, and then it's like just waves that women go through. And I do think there's also something called extended sexual orgasm, which actually might be more about staying in an orgasmic state. So it's actually not so much waves as one continual high. But I mean, for instance, I know one woman who doesn't actually like to have orgasms with her partner, because she likes to stay in the orgasmic state for an hour or more. She says, I like to hang out in that golden light.
I love it. That's so true.
And she feels like when she's with a partner, she has to come back. She has to come bring herself down. And really, I think a lot of us would have, might really expand our experience of our sexuality.
Just hang out. I'm sorry, I can't come into it. I'm just going to hang out in my orgasmic state. That would be awesome.
Right. Now, not every relationship is perfect. But do you find when all this is going on, there's less arguments? Has that been proven, or is it?
I don't think
it's
been proven, but you know what? I certainly think if we were all having really, really great sex, it'd be a different world. And on the other hand, I look at someone like George Bush, and I think, well, is he capable of having what I would consider really good sex?
Right, exactly.
I can't imagine it.
Probably not. I can't imagine that either. Yeah. Right. Any more questions, Menace? Anything you've come across with women that you'd like to? This is your time.
I'm trying to think if it hasn't been anything I've already asked already.
Well,
are there any specific? What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say technique is, you know, learning the right technique is not really what it's about.
Yeah.
Because women are so individual. So
Because I was just thinking, because like every like situation you've described is somebody that I've been with, like the multiple orgasmer, the ejaculator, the one that it's very hard to get to that point and all that. So that's I think I've been through all of that.
Yeah. And technique is specific to specific women. You know, there are certain women who can't come unless their clitoral head is stimulated in a particular way, and exactly, you know, on one particular side. Actually, I was talking to some woman the other day. She said, yes, but sometimes, some days, it's the other side.
Right.
You know, women vary enormously from each other, and they also
vary
themselves.
And they just have to talk. Like, so what are your main tips then for couples? I mean, her people mm-hmm. together? Like, how do they even talk about it, explain it? I think that women are like, and men, I mean, how do you talk to them?
Well, I do think that it's often easier to negotiate. Well, if there are certain things you know about yourself, like, for instance, some women know they quite often cry when they orgasm or cry just when they're aroused. And it's, I think it's great to be able to talk about that before you're actually at the point of orgasm,
right.
You know, and explain that it's really fine, because it is absolutely fine for many women to cry when they come or to cry when they're aroused or just to allow emotion to move through them. So I think you want to be, it's better to talk about those, you know, before you actually get into bed with someone.
Exactly.
But the other thing that people really need to do is to talk about sex afterwards. So, and not the did you come kind of question, but, you know, would you have, if it's the guy, you know, ask questions like, would you have preferred it if I'd gone on a little longer? Would you have preferred it if I'd stopped sooner? Are there particular kinds of stimulation you would have liked more of and would have liked harder? And just lie in bed afterwards and talk about it. And, you know, what she can say is, you know, it would have been really great if you could have gone on just a little longer there, you know. And it's always good to preface what you're saying with, it was really great.
It was great. It was all amazing. And, oh, my God, it was so good.
Yes.
And next time.
Yes, let's
never
do it.
But. Yes. So any final tips you'd like to leave us with, that, like any other that we should just...
Well, I just want to repeat, I think, that women are incredibly different. There is absolutely nothing wrong with you. If you don't come easily or if you don't come at all, it's just what's going on for you right now. And different women need different things. And to have sex that isn't goal-oriented is really, that is actually the answer to an awful lot of so-called
totally
problems.
We get so caught up in that. Thank you so much, Micaiah. Yeah.
Well, thank
Micaiah
you.
Micaiah Hart. Okay, the book is The Ultimate Guide to Orgasm for Women, How to Become Orgasmic for a Lifetime. Can you see that on the camera there?
I can, yes.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much.
I think Dennis learned a lot.
I did.
So did I. And that was great. And also, everyone, here's my book, Hot Sex. Come to my party tonight in San Francisco, 6 to 8 p.m. next week in L.A. That's what we got for you. Tomorrow's Free Friday. It's going to be a great show. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.